Good afternoon, sir.
My last name is Monge, M-O-N-G-E.
Okay, and what's your ABC number, please?
It's 292-745.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This is concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. All right.
Okay.
I see that you were notified about this hearing on July 11th. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, you got it in front of you. You are on the ball. And one of your rights on that list, if you look down on that paper, right about in the middle of the page, one of your rights is you could hire an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
Myself.
Okay, that is fair enough. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You can't see us, obviously, but we have the Honorable Louis Quinones, we have the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I'll be the lead for your hearing. We also have in the room Mr. Turner, who's with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So, before we get any further, I want to swear the both of you in, so, and I apologize if I mispronounce your last name.
That's okay. I get it a lot.
It's difficult for us. So,
yeah.
Mr. Monge?
It's Monge.
Monge?
Monge.
And Mr.
Yeah.
Turner?
G is silent, but it's okay.
The G is silent, Monge. Okay. And Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Monge?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Monge, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision.
Yes.
And then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So,
okay.
Mr. Monge, I'm going to read each allegation. There's only the one, so it won't take very long. And as I read this allegation to you, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. Okay, so we'll start phase one of your hearing. And that is that the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to maintain contact with your assigned parole officer, and to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about May 14th, 2018, as directed on May 12th, 2018, per the noncompliance letter. You were actively avoiding supervision unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Monge, is this true or false?
Well, it's false because the address he had down here, he took it to the wrong address, the form. I never received it.
I guess the allegation, did you report on May 14th? Did you report to your assigned parole officer?
Yes.
You did?
No, that you were again?
The allegation is that you didn't report for a face-to-face contact meeting.
Oh, yeah, that day I did, and I was at work, and I couldn't just, because I'm a manager, I couldn't just leave the running alone.
That part is true. And in phase two, you can explain and tell us anything you want to tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I'm going to call that one true, and I'm going to say that based on Mr. Monge's admission, information, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal ways of company. Seconded, Mr. Johnson, agreed. Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay. Mr. Monge, I'm just filling in some paperwork here, which there's always paperwork. Okay, now, we'll move on to phase two of your hearing, sir. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information. And just stay on the line there, and we'll be right back to ask you some questions in just a moment.
Okay,
sir, thank you. Mr. Turner?
Yes, Mr. Monge was released from ADC custody on 3/13/2018. And arrested on 6/22/2018 by Chandler PD, no new charges. Returned back to ADC on 6/22/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11/19/2018 with 39 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016 aggravated DUI, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2013 endangerment, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2.3. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior term to supervision, 2014, TIS release completed 1 month. Disciplinary is minimal with possession, manufacturing of intoxicants, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest, 1999, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, possess, sell marijuana, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. In 2003, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Has a GB score of G3, V4.
Okay, Mr. Mulcahy, we have a written summary here too, and it looks like when you were released in March, you were released to TLC on Southern Avenue in Mesa.
Yep.
Okay, but then in April, about a month later, your parole officer received a discharge letter saying you had been discharged because you walked off on a labor ticket. What happened? What happened that day?
No, well, it's not that I walked off on a labor ticket. I refused to do a labor ticket. When I went to see the parole officer, Radigy, a few days before that, he had asked me why I missed some of my classes on the CAC.
Right.
And I let him know that, well, they have me working from Monday to Sunday pretty much every day. We were at the TLC doing tickets to pay off my rent. And he asked me if I had a real job, like the local job, and I told him no, I was doing the labor jobs for TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And he had stated that he wanted me to get a regular job where I can get my own check stubs to start paying off my own fines and everything.
Right.
And I explained to him that if I refused to do any of the tickets, they had me, well, pretty much, I thought like it was blackmail, because they said if I left on any of those tickets, that I would get discharged automatically. That's the rules, that you can call TLC, that's how they function.
Yeah.
And he told me like this, he's like, if they do that, he's like, you come down to that, because you go look for another job and get yourself another job. He's like, I'll personally put you in another halfway house. Just give me a call. If that happens, he's like, the minute you give me a call, I'll find you another place. He's like, don't worry about that. He's like, you need to get your own job so you can start paying off your own fine. And this is what he had told me. So I went off the assumption that I was okay. And he's, you know what? I'm going to put you back in the classes. Don't listen no more. He's, don't listen to what they're telling. Because they had me doing classes there. See, they have like NA and AA meetings and all that stuff. And you do them like twice a day, almost every day. And he called there. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys follow up like that, but. So I took him at his word, and so on the, I think it was 12th of April, that same day is when I went to a place where I had an interview, and they hired me on the spot, and I worked a few hours. When I got back to the halfway house with the proof of a job, like, and I was already ahead on my rent and everything over there. I was already up to date, and I had money credited. So when I get there, they tell me that I was discharged, and then they ended up burning me for like, I was up like at least $800, and they only paid me like $250 out of all that money that was owed to me.
Oh, okay.
The first thing I did, I did call Raddy. I don't know if he ever showed any of his messages on his phone, because he gave me a card that had his cell phone number, and I could text him anytime. Sure. And I had done so, and he never put me in another place.
Well, we show that you were approved to live at 1331 East Folly Place in Chandler.
Yeah.
Ooh,
see, that's another thing. They have three different times or different dates on that.
Well, like, I was approved
on 4/20/2018, and I finally went and talked to the CPO Smith.
Sir,
yeah.
Who lives at 1331 East Folly Place? Who lives there?
That's my girlfriend's address is actually 1351 East Folly Place.
Okay.
That's where my girlfriend is.
That could be just a typo, 1350.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And on the other paperwork, they had the same address. I didn't know they had the wrong address, or else I would have, you know what I mean?
Okay. Where were you working? What was your job you said you got?
I because they wrote me, I started my job at Little Caesars on Erie and Arizona Ave.
Oh, okay. And did you work there the whole time?
I was there the whole time. And he had my phone number and the number there. I told him, if I'm not answering, it's because they don't let me pick up at work.
Right. Well,
so that he can reach me at work.
Yeah, you can't just answer phone. Okay, so you were going to some of the CHC, but that's because it was, they had to work, so you couldn't leave to go to the CHC anger management.
No, well, I would go, but the thing is there, like, if you're late so many minutes, they consider it an accident.
Yep.
And I was catching the bus from Chandler all the way to the place, and sometimes there's traffic in between, and sometimes I'd leave early and just, sometimes I was still late, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not gonna lie about that.
Yeah,
I was blind to the classes, and
The process is...
After so many days, that when you're late, they'll just automatically kick you out of the class. You have to get put back in by the parole officers.
Had you had a history with drug use, sir?
When I was younger, I used to smoke marijuana. I'm not about that. I was young and dumb, but not no more. I mean, that's how my thoughts were clean. I was still dropping up to like June, I think 18th was the last time I went.
Okay. So what, you've got discipline since you've been back, or while you were in prison, you have discipline for intoxicants. For hooch.
Well, it was kind of at my bunk. It wasn't mine. It was there. So I had bunky too.
You didn't smell it there and say, what was that?
Well, when they found that nobody was there.
Wait, but I'm saying you're sleeping right in that bed and you didn't smell that hooch?
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Somebody, when they went in there, somebody that put it there, I don't know, my bunkie was on there or somebody or what, and it was there.
All right, sir.
Yeah.
All right. What were you doing when the Chamber PD arrested you?
When what?
When
nothing. I complied. They asked me my name, and I told them my name and everything.
Well, why did they even talk to you? What was happening?
Because I guess they thought I was somebody else at the moment, and when they ran my name and saw who I was, they let me go.
Okay.
I mean, they let me go. They took me in.
You look like somebody else. Okay. What were you doing during the 39 abscond days? You were lost touch with your parole officer. Why?
What was that again?
You lost touch, or you didn't contact your parole officer for 39 days. What were you doing?
39 days? I was just working. I was at work. I had a little 2-year-old daughter with my girlfriend, and I was just working, helping her out, going to the classes and to the drops until they stopped the classes and all that.
Okay. So why didn't you call your parole officer?
Because at the time, the phone that I had before, I had ended up losing it, and I had to save up money to buy another one. I make money, but I pay child support too. I'm paying $381 a month for a son that I had in Tucson. And then, I have my girlfriend and a baby. They have these too, so I was giving her half my check too.
Okay, so.
And I was just trying to, they struggled a lot. We lost our home, our car and everything. And I'm just trying to help everything situated for my daughter. You know what I mean? Yeah, I fell off a little bit, but
okay,
I wasn't committing no crimes or nothing. I was just trying to provide for my little girl.
I'm going
to
see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question? Okay, Mr. Monday, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement without repeating something you've already told us. Is there anything else you think the board should know?
And what was that again?
Is there anything else the board should know? As we come toward the end of your hearing.
I regret letting it come to me coming back to prison. You know what I mean? I was just trying to do good out there. I stayed away from alcohol. I've given them all the drops they needed. And I just want to make money to better myself and my kids' lives. There's nothing else for me to do. I'm not trying to come back over here to prison or commit any more crimes. I'm 37 years old, man. This ain't no place for me, and I have a little 2-year-old baby that soon she's gonna be going to school and everything, and I just need to be there for her life, man. I need to provide for that child. She can't do it on her own.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The board is gonna go into discussion, and all we ask is you just remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. The board's now in discussion. Mr. Mulcahy has got a couple months left on his sentence. He did abscond for 39 days, though, and I am not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision for that reason, but I would listen to any input from fellow board members.
I agree.
All right, then, based on information in Board 2018W1528, a conversation with Mr. Monge and information from Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Monge was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 39 days and not remaining in contact with his parole officer.
Second. Agreed.
All right. motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed, Ms. Neal. Okay, Mr. Hornby, back to you. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. We're showing a release date for you of November 19th of this year, sir. So that's a few months away, but we urge you in the meantime to take advantage of whatever programming you can there. Get involved in 12-step if you can, if you're not already. We wish you well. We certainly have a lot to look forward to with the 2 years old to take care of.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes?
We were still finishing Mr. Hornby's hearing. Did he choose to hang up the phone?
Oh, no, he didn't leave the phone. Are you guys talking to him or no?
We were still lining up. I don't know at what point he handed you the phone.
Oh, right now? When did he phone back?
It's all right. We'll just say that this concludes his hearing.
Okay.